This is the Takeaway Weekender. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm having a good weekend because I got the chance to spend some time with actress Parker Posey earlier in the week. And here's someone who loves what she does and sometimes wonders why there isn't more opportunity to do it. Posey has established herself as an artist who takes risks. She would say that she doesn't know how not to take them, beginning with her earliest roles in films like Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. Seniors, we tried. We gave you all a chance, but since you little teases can't follow instructions, we're just going to have to try something else, won't we?
It's Parker Posey swinging for the bleachers as a mean girl in the movie Dazed and Confused, and here making the implausible come alive in The House of Yes.
What's the wildest place you've ever made love?
With Marty?
Yes.
I can't talk like that about your brother.
Pretend he's not my brother, I do.
Parker Posey takes her innocent look, mixes it with some southern guile, and with a demonic intelligence, nails characters like the neurotic yuppie dog owner in Christopher Guest's Best in Show.
We met at Starbucks. Not at the same Starbucks, but we saw each other at different Starbucks across the street from each other. And Hamilton got up the courage to walk across the street one day and approached me.
Her newest film is Woody Allen's Irrational Man. It centers on a depressed philosophy professor played by Joaquin Phoenix and the two women on his campus who are most influential in his life, a fellow professor played by Parker Posey and a young student played by Emma Stone.
How's it coming?
Blocked. Can't write.
You need a muse.
I've never needed a muse before.
I hope you're not going to send me back out into the rain without sleeping with me.
Direct, funny, candid. My afternoon chat with Parker Posey was, let me just say, a treat. I found myself feeling envious of her latest director, Woody Allen.
Thank you for having me.
I'm a big fan. Let me get that out of the way.
Thank you. I'm a fan of yours now.
Oh, good. Good. All right. Well, let's hope that's still the case. I'll ask you at the end of the interview if you're still a fan. But let's just talk about this film to begin with.
Sure.
And what's it like to be directed by Woody Allen? Is this your first chance?
It was. It was my first time working with him. But I met him 20 years ago for Bullets Over Broadway and Shadows and Fog. So, you know, he's a master. He's a maestro. He's focused and effortless, and, you know, I thought a lot about jazz. To me, he's like a composer, and he can do it all. He can act. He can direct. I think he's very graceful, you know. Yet there is a there's a pressure and an expectation to kind of get it right on the first take,
really?
Or the second take, or the third take. And I like that. I like that focus and that energy. And everyone is at their best and talented and artistic and great at what they do. So just to be at that level was fantastic. I feel so blessed. I loved it.
Do you ever feel like you're channeling Woody's own neuroses? I mean, I just see this from the outside. Some of the stories are about, you know, aging and romance at a sort of particular point in life, and this film sort of is in that genre slightly.
Yeah. I thought a lot about the actresses who have been in his movies in the past. I wasn't sure what kind of quality was going to be that he wanted for this part. I thought it was lighter initially because I only got 20 pages of the script. I didn't get the tone of the whole story. So I showed up and I learned very quickly that it was more in the heavier, deeper range, like Geraldine Page in Interiors or Sandy Dennis in Another Woman, which I love, that kind of gravitas and the suffering and the dignity and the experience, you know, that that he elicits from his actors. So that was amazing to be directed by him. I thought a lot too, is like, you know what, these actors and actresses of that time were so utilized in a way that we are not utilized as actors today. And so the experience was precious to me and bittersweet, you know, to work with this great director who's 80, who's a true auteur, and to see him still standing and still vibrant and with his ideas and his wit and everything, but also to have worked with a lot of directors who haven't been supported, you know. It's such a different culture right now. And, you know, I'm at the age and where I can say I've seen it all change. And felt very grateful and very lucky.
Hmm. And Woody still got it.
He has still got it. I mean, the movie has such edge, and it's so modern, and it's so it's all those things that come together in a great Woody Allen movie. When I saw it, I mean, it took my breath away. I know that sounds dramatic. What do you expect? But I was like, what? I mean, it felt like out of left field.
The ensemble work that you've done with Christopher Guest is, you know, that's kind of a family.
Yes.
And, you know? What are you in the family? The oldest sister? The youngest sister?
I think I'm the daughter.
You're the daughter?
Yeah. Chris is very much like a father figure to me. And when I did Libby Mae Brown and Waiting for Guffman when I was 24, I was devastated wrapping that movie. I felt so close to Corky, and I felt so lived in this part that it was like, and I was going to miss Corky so much. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And he just held my hand in the van. And it's like you really can create like a family. And then you see it go away. And only to live again in another way in another movie.
Of course, Waiting for Guffman is about being an actress, being an actor. I mean, in some ways, it cuts pretty close to the bone there.
Yeah.
It's like, is it real? Is it not?
And people say that, you know, a lot of those movies say, you know, the language of them, because it just comes from a specific place that's, you know, funny and poignant and true, you know, and they use it for, you know, their day-to-day conversations. Someone told me, they're like, we could go to Broadway, and they use it just like out of the blue, you know? Yeah, the small town theater scene, and just these little cults of dog show competitions, folk group, In a Mighty Wind, and then Actors in For Your Consideration too. He's just brilliant to tap into these subcultures and to expose them.
Is he having fun? Christopher Guest, does he kind of get what he's doing, and it's a great place, or does he aspire to some?
What we do, yeah. You know, it's a different kind of fun. I would not describe it as fun. I don't know what the word is saying that, but it's meaningful. It kind of feels like a sport. You know, it's like playing music, really, and it is fun. It is fun, and it's really fun. You know, on Best in Show. During breaks, everyone was hanging out at where we were shooting in Toronto, which was in where the dog show competition took place. And we would stand around harmonizing with each other. I can't harmonize because I'd like to follow the other person's voice. But I also just don't have that ear like Jane Lynch has that ear and John Michael Higgins has and Catherine O'Hara. They could all just harmonize in this beautiful way. So we would all sing during the breaks while we shot, and then that's what inspired Chris to create A Mighty Wind.
Oh, really?
Yeah. After that, I mean, of course, it's something that he grew up with, and that with that kind of music. But and then of course he opened for himself as the Folksman for Spinal Tap. There was a show where they opened for themselves.
I know. You know, I've interviewed him a couple times, and I'm such a huge fan that I always completely botch the interview. He thinks I'm just the most annoying person. I think he just feels like I'm chasing him through an airport. But I have this sense of him, and that's why you're here. And we're going to talk about you in a second.
I'd rather talk about him.
I get this idea that he's sort of painting the Sistine Chapel, that he's sort of going around all these places in culture and doing this sort of Christopher Guest kind of scene of it. And he has an idea that he is trying to create a complete sense of what's going on in America.
You're right in that he has a perspective about the culture and about individuals in the culture. And then he also has, you know, the talent for constructing through an outline a story and characters and certain actors to these characters and how they can branch out and kind of play within their own histories and their own strengths. So he's like Woody Allen. He's very much of a composer of on a scale that's just got great perspective. Yeah. And it is very musical too. And as you know, those movies are improvised. So it really is about letting go. And Woody has that as well. He knows that it really is about. We want to see something free, and we want to capture something that's real on film. And as an actor, you have to keep forgetting that, and so the preparation becomes about your character and your dedication to this person, and your empathy and your headspace. You know how you fill your head before you work, and what you use.
Do you have an agent?
I do. Yeah.
Do you talk about your career with the agent?
No.
Yeah.
There's no time. They're so busy.
Because I think
they like it though. You know, I have new agents, and I like them a lot.
They're all great.
I was with very big, corporate agent, CAA, for a long, long time, and I realized that the bigger agencies were kind of more into the NFL.
Right.
And conglomerates, and they were into the smaller movies that I was into, and I would see these film festivals and going on. I'd be like, I'm not in any of these independent movies, and it had been going on for a long, long time. And the independent movies that I had been in came, you know, from someone around the corner, you know, that I knew through someone else who happened to get money made. So I've seen it kind of. The work dissipate, and I don't know how much it is the, the structure and of how these movies are made has changed too. You have to be in a viable commodity. You can't be right for a part. You know, it can't be like something that you can play easily and that is intrinsic to you as a person. It more has to do with how much money your last movie made and who's financing
exactly.
It. You know, it's become such a business. People want to make so much money.
Right.
I met with a producer named Larry Mark, produced Pretty Woman, and he told me of a script that Delia Ephron wrote that was so good. And I was like, why can't you just do this at Amazon for $1.2 million and entertain people? This movie's charming, funny. Delia Ephron wrote it. You don't even have to pay me anything. This is a good time for me. I do it, you know? And they can't get made. Mm. And it's strange to me. You know, in the 90s, we saw the rise of the auteur, and in the 70s, we saw this in our culture, and it has been usurped by, you know,
numbers and eyeballs,
numbers and
metrics and all
and
sort of
games and games too, and how people look at the screen has changed, and that's big. You know, they're playing games on screens, they're looking at their Facebook and their communities on screens, and we're at a really interesting time right now.
What do you think of the whole Amy Schumer kind of verdict on Hollywood that you've got, you know, X amount of time when you're believed to be, you know, bankable / another word that I can't use, and then, you know, you're discarded as a woman? I don't think it'd be a scary time to be an actress.
You know what Amy is saying, and what it's brought up in the culture and in the media, it's right on. But it's always been happening like this.
Yeah.
I miss when men and women shared the screen together in wit and intelligence and love. And there's something that people, you know, I think we've been missing out on that dynamic in movies and TV for a while now. I was a big fan of Heart to Heart, and I just watched all of those.
Oh,
yeah, I got the DVDs.
Yeah.
There was real chemistry between the two of them, you know? And they had fun together.
Yeah, it was a little Hepburn Tracy kind of thing.
Yeah, His Girl Friday.
Yeah. The movies of today, the comedies of today, I sometimes think, and I think Christopher Guest is an exception, but I think a lot of the big blockbuster comedies are about characters who, you know, you're supposed to hate. They're just, I mean, it's not a Seinfeld thing, but there's a kind of nastiness to comedy now. And it's sometimes, I laugh, but I sometimes feel like I should, you know.
It's strange when you have grown-ups acting like they're in second grade and the boys making fun of the girls. And it's kind of the same thing, like, you know, characters pushing each other on the playground. But we're grown-ups.
Mm. Dream gig for you before we go? Besides this one right now.
I love to work with David Lynch. And, yeah. You know, it'd be great to do like a big miniseries or something. Like Olive Kittredge.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
And don't you watch that and go like, why aren't there more?
I always say, why aren't there more?
Yeah.
I mean, but then I feel like I'm just saying that I'm old.
I know, me too.
Right, exactly. Parker Posey, thanks so much.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Takeaway Weekender. We'll see you on Monday. Until then, check everything out at thetakeaway.org. Have a great weekend.